Welcome to another episode of Adding Up the Podcast. I'm your host, Serena.Ryan. This is episode 93, New Year Resolution for Savings. Is it possible to save money with the cost of living ever increasing? A really interesting question I want to explore the answer of in this podcast. I share my lived experience. I am not a financial advisor. I am dedicated to provoking more open conversations around money to enable people to have money confidence when seeking expert advice. In this episode, I am going to talk about how to save money when you feel like you have less available to you. Before I jump into the episode, I think it's important to reflect on highlights, my best saving, my best learning, and money bravery. My best saving, not spending money. Yeah, I feel like that's a joke, but it's not a joke. Resisting the temptation to spend money is my best way of saving. And this podcast in itself is a form of saving. The awareness I have reduces my ability to spend money. I see that as being a critical thing to enable, because the clarity we can get with what we'd rather put our money towards enables us to be better with it. Your best saving is to not spend. My best learning with saving is to hide money from myself. If I can't see it, I can't spend it. Having a hidden bank account, hands down, has helped me to have savings. If that's the one thing you take from this episode, is if you don't already have one set up where you don't have it connected with your online banking that you view regularly and it is tucked away so it's harder for you to see and access, it is one of the most valuable things I have personally found. I'm not saying it's possible for everyone, but sharing my learning can inspire you to work out if it's right for your circumstances. It's worth investigating and having it done. I have a video on my YouTube channel about the cashless envelope system. I recommend having a watch. And as always, everything I share on this podcast is to inspire you to ask better questions of those that you're getting financial advice from. Money bravery. My money bravery is to have this podcast. It is very much an easy thing to hide talking about money. No one likes to do it. It makes people uncomfortable. I've found when I get up in front of rooms and speak about it and my learning around money, I watch people's body language and I see crossed arms and crossed legs and avoiding eye contact because of people's shame and vulnerability around it. I've made a personal commitment that I will speak up more about my money stories and my money challenges to inspire others to go, actually, you know what? It's okay. It's okay to have had stress around money. It's okay to have struggled with how best to allocate our money and resources. When we can remove the shame around it, then we can have more open conversations and take necessary action to be empowered to have the opportunity to rewrite our financial future. So my money bravery with regards to savings is this podcast. Getting into this week's episode. This episode is one that is a really important one if you're looking to rewrite your financial future. A consistent theme I've seen in 2022 is something that I was guilty of. When I've started talking about my money stories, people come to me and tell me privately their money challenges, and they keep saying, well, they're holding on to their credit card in case of emergencies. And when I started rewriting my financial future, I started to see the value in finding an alternative in case of emergencies that was not my credit card. What that is for me now is having a savings account that has money in that I don't touch, that savings has actually become my in case of emergencies. Having my in case of emergencies as my savings instead of it being a credit card means I don't fall into the trap that when emergencies come, not if, when they do, that I'm able to pay for them out of my money as opposed to using a credit card. Doing it in that order has been that I've been successfully able to remove credit cards as a source of overspend. The relationship I had with credit cards is that I kept treating it as if it was my own money. And the danger of a credit card being the in case of emergencies card is it's still treating it as if it's my own money. It just means that I have some breathing space for a little while, but I end up having to pay back a lot more than what I had if I use it as my emergency source of money. So I needed to find a way to have a different emergency source so that I have that buffer. And the interesting thing is, now that I've hit a threshold for it to be my in case of emergencies account, is that savings gives me choice and freedom to do other things that can include things like holidays, like those bigger purchases, those dream things that I want to have in my life. But until I changed a key behavior, which wasn't about using a credit card, the key behavior was actually having savings. And I wasn't setting up savings in a way where I could consistently save the money. So this is what this episode is about, is how I have now structured myself to enable savings. This may look different for everyone. This is sharing about my circumstances, my lived experience. It may help and inspire, and I highly recommend you go and speak to your professional financial advisors that you use and share with them my experience to see if that could suit you too. Now, for me, I've gone through these steps. I've reviewed my spending for the year of 2022. And first thing I noticed is that my spending on everyday items such as groceries and bills for our utilities has all gone up, which means my budget that I had for 2021, it's now not going as far in 2022, which has meant that my savings are going down. Now, how do I readjust? I need to actually see where I've gone and where my money is being allocated. By doing that, I'm also looking for where I can get savings. So something I've built into my habits now is I don't automatically assume that I stay with the same utility providers or the same insurance providers either, because I have insurances and I have utilities. These are what I consider my everyday items. If there's a way in which you can shop around for these things, then I encourage you to do it. And no, I don't advocate who you should be with. So I had someone ask me the other day who I recommended for insurance. And I said, I don't recommend. I'm not saying I don't recommend you have insurance. That's something you discuss with your financial advisor. What my point is, I don't recommend a particular brand. I recommend that you assess your circumstances and you are empowered to do your own homework around that to make sure it works for you. Because everyone's circumstances are a bit different. While we can be similar, we're different. And the empowerment around this, and I've also been asked also in this past week for a recommendation on a financial advisor. I'll say to you, I don't recommend financial advisors either. And the reason being is by recommending someone, it's not helping to shift people's behaviors. I see the biggest hurdle we need to overcome is not whether someone has professional advice, because there's lots of regulators for that, on whether someone's got their certification or not. What we need to be looking at as well is taking ownership for our own financial circumstances. We need to look at it in a way that we are seriously thinking about what it is we want in our life and then getting the advice instead of jumping to get the advice and then figuring out what we want. If we can reverse that order, then you're going to end up getting better advice that's more attuned to your circumstances if you've spent the time to figure out your circumstances that you want to achieve. That's how I view it. And I see how important that is through my own lived experience. I can go to a financial advisor and say, oh, look, you know, I'd like to retire comfortably. And he's like, well, what does that look like for you? And I'm like, oh, until I can clearly articulate how that looks for me, then he can't tell me exactly which way to go with regards to my finances. And that's the logic I'm coming from. The better we are clear about what we want, the better off we'll be. So, talking about savings, my goodness. Okay, so shop around on the essentials. Do your homework. Don't be afraid to do your homework, because it doesn't hurt for you to do that legwork. You might go, oh, geez, I've got to think about things for myself. It means you've got to take accountability and responsibility, which are two things I think you should be doing. Just saying. And this is advice to me as well. And automate savings. Now, I've already mentioned about having that savings account. If you haven't already done so, do jump over to YouTube and watch the video. At serena.ryan is the YouTube channel, and dot is D-O-T because my middle name's Dorothy. Now, cashless envelope system, hands down, is something that has transformed my way with money, and that's why I've done a video about it. Having the hidden bank account is something that means that it's like I shrink my money that I see every pay cycle. So over time, I forget the other money's there. And when you forget the other money's there, you don't treat it like it's there. Therefore, I know it's there, but I don't regularly check it. And if that account is an online saver that's not connected to my usual banking institution, it means it has an extra couple of steps for me to access and see it, which means I don't check it every day and it's more likely to grow without me touching it. All of those things put me in a better financial situation to treat that as when I need it, as the credit card in case of emergencies, and it's actually my own money. And it's allowed to sit there. I can't stress enough how that has actually changed my way. And when I finally paid off all three credit cards I had that were maxed out in April 2020, I was able to realize I had a buffer there. And now we're going into, oh my goodness, nearly 3 years without having credit cards used in that way. My buffer zone is there and it's okay. And it's still growing because I've automated money going into it. Now, in the reflection of this past year and the increase in cost of savings. Oh my goodness, this is the cost of savings, isn't it? We're talking about. I am looking for more creative ways to save money to ensure I can still put the same amount of money into savings. That is the bottom line of this review of my savings at the end of 22 going into 2023 is I'm looking to see how I can be better with what I have to ensure I'm still saving. Because fundamentally, if I'm not consistently saving, I'm putting myself in a situation where I may need to access money through emergency ways. And if I have to access money through emergency ways, if I don't have that buffer, that means I'm susceptible to go back to bad habits of using a credit card as emergency money. And if I'm using a credit card as emergency money, I will end up having to pay for it. Not just that money, but I'll also have to pay that interest and also put myself in a situation of where I will remove all my cushioning. And if I remove all my financial cushioning, it means that I put myself into financial distress. And I don't want to go there again, ever. We're coming up to 3 years now of zero credit cards in that way. And I think it's important for me to continue on this same path. So as I talk through how I'm doing a review of my savings, I'm at a situation where I am reducing how much I'm putting into savings, but I'm not stopping it. I'm reducing it, and I don't think it's important to say how much I'm reducing it by, but I'll say in percentage terms, it's 20% less than what I was putting in. And that means I can still cover all my costs comfortably. Now, I will be reviewing in mid-year on how my savings are going and cost of living is going, because I think this is important to recognize. We should be reviewing things regularly and not just setting and forgetting. I see how important it is to continue putting the money into savings, even though, to be fair, with the current financial circumstances and mortgages going up, cost of living going up, that I could easily have made that percentage 50% and still kept the comfort level I had. I'm okay to put it at 20% and be mindful now that we'll also be a lot more mindful with regards to what I'm spending money on for our day to day. And hopefully I can find some savings with regards to our bills. And that is important. Don't be afraid to be accountable and hold others accountable who are helping you. I have already spoken with our mortgage broker, and he has secured us, it's about a 1.6% discount on our mortgage. So that's something I'd also encourage adding into the mix. If you have a mortgage broker, or go directly to your financial institution if you have a mortgage and talk to them about your financial circumstances, be open with them. Say you're shopping around and you're wanting to get the best deal you possibly can with regards to your interest rates, and see what they have to say for themselves. I didn't realize you could do that regularly, and I hadn't done it for, my goodness, nearly at least 6 years. Now I see the value in doing it and doing it regularly and keeping those conversations going with the people you get financial advice from, because you'd be surprised how you could possibly make some savings that you didn't even know you could make.